Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna to everybody. As everybody is aware, today is a very special day. Ganesh Prabhu just told me that for our Srila Prabhupada, this is the most important and special day. The appearance day of the spiritual master of the ISKCON founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I feel very unqualified, to talk about this very great personality. In order to understand Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's teachings, we have to understand first Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with external and internal missions to fulfill. One of his external missions was the propagation of the holy name of the Lord, the Sankirtan movement. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's departure, 200 years after, the Vaishnava culture was almost, we can say, almost annihilated. The Sahayas, they become very prominent in India, especially in Bengal. And in that time, by the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna, Krishna sent one of his dearest associates, which is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Kamala Manjari in the spiritual world. So we have Krishna, we have Radharani, and Radharani has eight principal associates, or Sakis. The main one of these Sakis or associates is Lalita Sakhi. Each Sakhi, it has Manjaris who are assisting them. And this particular Sakhi, Lalita Sakhi, the mainly Manjari who assists Lalita Sakhi is Rupa Manjari, which is Rupa Goswami. And the mainly Manjari who assists Rupa Manjari is Kamala Manjari, which is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Krishna sent Bhaktivinoda Thakur in order to reestablish the Vaishnava culture. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came because of the petition of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya, being one of the incarnations of Godhead also, he felt himself helpless in order to propagate Krishna consciousness, and he prayed for the descendant of Krishna himself. So even the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was very powerful Acharya, he prayed for a ray of Vishnu, or for one very powerful associate, in order to help him in his mission of reestablishing the Vaishnava culture. So that personality who descended was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who came to this material world 16th of February of 1874, exactly at 3:30 p.m. in Jagannath Puri. His father, as I mentioned, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and his mother's name was Bhagavati Devi Dasi. since he born, he manifested the symptoms and the physical features of what is called a Maha Purusha or Maha Bhagavata. In the Nectar of Devotion and in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is mentioned, I think it's about 32 characteristics of Maha Purusha. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had all of them. Like for example, 3 lines on his abdomen, 3 lines on his neck, bright, big forehead, long arms, deep navel. So those are some of the characteristics of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. As we know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur at that time, he was in charge of the Jagannath Puri temple. 6 months after the birth of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the Ratha Yatra procession was held in Jagannath Puri. So the procession, as we know, was going on. And actually, the procession doesn't take too much time. Since it starts to finish, it's less than 1 day. But in that moment, the Ratha Yatra car stopped right from the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it couldn't move, as we know, for 3 days. In that moment, Bhagavati Devidasi, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's mother, she came with the baby and she offered the baby to Lord Jagannath. I want to mention something in relation to this. Most of us come from a Catholic tradition. I remember Catholics, they also have these customs. Like, we had many processions, at least in South America. And I remember now, when I was a child, that when the processions of Jesus Christ was going on, and they had places that they stopped for offering to the Lord some homages. In that moment, some ladies, some mothers, they get that opportunity to offer the babies or the small child to the Lord, to Jesus Christ. So I just want to mention how there is some similitudes, you know, in Vaishnava tradition, Catholic tradition, something in common. Anyway, the car couldn't move for 3 days. And in that moment, Bhagavati Devidasi brought the baby to be offered to the Lord. And he says that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took that opportunity for touching Lord Jagannath's lotus feet. And in that moment, a big garland fell down on the body of the baby, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So in that moment, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he could understand that child is my ray of Vishnu. Right after that event, the grain ceremony was performed. So that means that for the first time, the child was offered solid food. So, and then after that, another ceremony was performed. You know, that ceremony in which you have the baby that barely can walk, is crawling, and you put in one side books, the Vaishnava books, and the other side you put money or something that represents wealth. So in that opportunity, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he went up to the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he embraced the Bhagavatam. He embraced very, very tightly the Srimad Bhagavatam. Also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very, very pleased with that showing of devotion by his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He says that when Bhaktisiddhanta, in that moment, his name was Bimala Prasad. The name that was given to him by his father was Bimala Prasad, which means the potency of Lord Jagannath, or it can be translated also as the mercy of Lord Jagannath. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was 4 or almost 5 years old, the famous mango pastime happened. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he brought some boga to their house, and within the boga, there were some mangoes. Actually, I read in the Vaishnava Shastras, there is 2 versions. One of them is that he ate the mango, and he got chastised by his father. And the other one is that he had the desire to eat the mango, and it was boga, but he didn't eat the mango. Anyway, regardless, when he got, corrected by his father, that he shouldn't eat the mango, which is boga, he felt himself very, very sinful. And he promised, since that age, do not eat mango his whole life. And in the future, when he was an adult, and some mangoes were brought to him, he said, I am a sinner. I am an offender. So this is some of the pastimes of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then at the age of 7 years old, he memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita. Not only he memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita, but he was able to explain the Bhagavad Gita, to give discourse of the Bhagavad Gita. Also, when he was 7, almost 8 years old, his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he moved back to Navadvip, and he was constructed what he called the Bhakti Bhavan, one house, one kutir. So when the foundation for that house was going on, he found one small shalangram shila of kurma, one kurma diri. So when that diri was found, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he entrusted that diri to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur for worship. So in that moment, Bhaktivinoda Thakur instructed Bhaktisiddhanta how to worship kurma diri, the mantras for the kurma diri. But previous to that event, Bhaktivinoda Thakur already had initiated Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur with the Harinam mantra and the Nishinha mantra. So in other words, at the age of 8 years old, he was already initiated in the Harinam mantra, in the Nishinha mantra, Kurma mantra, and he was worshipping the Kurma Diri. All this together at the age of 8 years old. So, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, due to his amazing memory, ability of remember and comprehend all kinds of topics, he gained the title of Living Encyclopedia. So he was like a picture memory. So when he was in the year of 1887, he started his studies in Sanskrit grammar and Jyotish. So at that time he was 13 years old. Especially he studied the technical aspects of Jyotish, but not too much the prediction size of Jyotish, so rather the technical aspects of Jyotish. In 1885, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, for the first time, took Srila Bhaktisiddhanta for parikram to different holy places. At the age of 12 years old, he started studying the Upanishads. And at that age also, he dedicated his studies into the books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Satsandarbhas of Srila Jiva Goswami. When he was 16 years old, he translated from Sanskrit to Bengali two classical astronomical books, one the Siddhanta Siromani and the Surya Siddhanta. And actually, after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati finishing translating these astrological or astronomical books, his teacher gave him the title Siddhanta Saraswati. At this moment, he gained the title Siddhanta Saraswati. The name Bhaktisiddhanta was given to him by himself when he took sannyas in 1918 after the departure of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gaurkishore Das Babaji. He says that in 1892, at the age of 18 years old, he entered to the Sanskrit College in Calcutta, but he showed little enthusiasm for the prescribed books of Sanskrit, being more interested in philosophical works in the college library. He kept Narottam Das Prarthana and Prema Bhakti Chandrika in a drawer of his desk at Bhakti Bhavan, and while pretending to do homework, would instead read them. He also read Krishna Karnamrita and Gita Govinda. In 1891, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and some of his closest friends, he founded the Shira Kumara Sabha, or the Association of a Lifelong Bachelors, also known as an August Assembly, whose members took a vow of celibacy, but he was the only one who maintained during his whole life. Actually, this association was founded with the purpose of spreading Sanatana Dharma. In 1897, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he began to observe Chaturmasya. But his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, reproved him, assenting that such self-denial was unnecessary. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur desisted from such rigorous practice of Chaturmasya. In 1898, after performing bhajan for almost 30 years, one great personality came to Navadvip. And along with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this personality are going to be the two most important persons in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's life. So that person who came was Gaurkishore Das Babaji. He says that when Gaurkishore Das Babaji came to Navadvip, he came with a tiger skin hat, cap. He came with a small basket with a paraphernalia for worshiping deity, and he came with a tilak stamp of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and with two books. That was all of Gaurkishore Das Babaji's belongings. Those two books were actually Narottam Das Thakur's books, Prarthana and Prema Chandrika. So Gaurkishore Das Babaji and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they show very, very high interest in the books of Narottam Das Thakur. Both of them, they were very absorbed in Prarthana and Prema Chandrika. In 1900, January 1900, he took initiation from Gaurkishore Das Babaji. As we all know, it wasn't easy for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to get initiated by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Actually, he met Gaur Kishore Das Babaji in the house of his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he used to have Bhagavatam Katha, and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji used to come to his house and to listen to that Katha. So that is how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati met Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. And he could see that that was a very great, great personality. And actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he saw that his son was ready for taking initiation, he told Bhaktisiddhanta to approach Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and ask for initiation. But he also said, if you don't take initiation, don't come back home. If you don't take initiation from him, don't come back home. So Bhaktisiddhanta, when he approached Gaur Kishore Das Babaji for initiation, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, in the first intent, he rejected him. He rejected him. Same that he will ask, first he said, I already had one disciple, and he has cheated me, and I don't want more disciples. And then Bhaktisiddhanta, he insisted, and then he said, okay, let me ask Mahaprabhu. So give me some time, and I will ask Mahaprabhu. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati came for the next time, and he said, did you ask Mahaprabhu for my initiation? And he said, I forgot. But next time I will see him, I will ask. So he came for the third time, and they said, did you ask Mahaprabhu? And he said, actually, I saw him, but I forgot to ask for your initiation. And then, the next time, he got the same response. And then, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, my life is useless. He started weeping, crying. My life is completely useless if I don't get your mercy. So what is the use of living if I don't get your mercy? If I don't get your mercy, I'm ready to die, to commit suicide. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, by seeing Bhaktisiddhanta's determination, he said, okay, go to the river, take bath, and then come back. I'll give you initiation. And he gave him the name Barsavanavi Devi Dajita Das. But later on, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati himself, he narrates exactly more details about this pastime. He says that during the moment in which he showed determination for killing himself if he was not accepted by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he said to Gaur Kishore, you and Mahaprabhu are worshipper of that crooked person, Krishna, that small boy Krishna. What can I expect of you? Because you, Mahaprabhu, and that small boy, crooked Krishna, you all are cheaters. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he could understand that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had very strong determination, and he initiated in that moment. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in 1904, or not in 1905, he wrote some letters to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, asking Bhaktisiddhanta to perform or to fulfill three important instructions. Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked Bhaktisiddhanta to develop Siddhang Mayapur, to develop the Navodit Mandal Parikram, and the last instruction, which until now is not fulfilled yet, is the development of Varnashram Dharma. Varnashram Dharma. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave to Bhaktisiddhanta three important instructions, also Gaur Kishore Das Babaji gave to Bhaktisiddhanta three instructions. One of those instructions is, do not take any disciples. The second one, do not go to Calcutta, because for Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Calcutta was the world of Maya. And then the last one, do not associate with materialistic person. Do not associate with anyone. So that was told by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in one of the celebrations of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's disappearance day. He shared with the assembly of devotees. He revealed those three instructions given to him by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. And then he said, I didn't accept any disciple because I see all my disciples as my gurus. And then he said, I didn't associate with any materialistic person because association means that you take something from someone else. And he said, I never took anything from anyone. And then he said, I never went to Calcutta. I went to the Gaudiya Math, which is Vaikuntha. So going on with the life of Bhaktisiddhanta. In 1905, actually before 1905, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta, they went to Jagannath Puri. In Jagannath Puri, after being in Jagannath Puri for some time, they went for pilgrimage to South India. In the way back, they found that Radha Ramam Charan Babaji, which was one of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's closest friend, started propagating what is called Rasavas. He made up one mantra like Radhe Krishna, Radhe Shyam, Nitai Gaura, Hare Ram, something like that. And he was making this mantra very popular. So Radha Ramam Charan Babaji, being very close friend of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so when Bhaktivinoda Thakur came back from his pilgrimage, he found that his friend was deviated. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he got really upset. So they got into debate, but he couldn't convince Radha Charan Babaji to stop doing that. So in that moment, a division happened. In one side, Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktisiddhanta, they were preaching pure Harinam, and on the other side, this Babaji, Radha Charan, was preaching or propagating his new Rasa Vasa mantra. Bhaktisiddhanta was so heavy with his preaching against this Rasa Vasa that he created many enemies. And it was a lot of fire in that time in Jagannath Puri. So due to his intense preaching, Bhaktivinoda Thakur could see that it was too much. He sent Bhaktisiddhanta to go back to Navadvip. When he went back to Navadvip in 1905, he took a vow of chanting 1 billion names of Krishna. It took for Bhaktisiddhanta 9 years and 4 months to fulfill this vow. It's the equivalent of chanting 192 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra daily. But the thing is that not only Bhaktisiddhanta was chanting and doing nothing, he was chanting, And also he was studying and translating books. Like for example, in 1909, he finished the translations and the commentaries of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he was chanting 192 rounds, and also he was writing books and doing other duties. In 1914, something very sad happens in the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His mainly influenced person in his life and his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, left this planet. And right after that, the next year, in 1915, in November of 1915, Gorky Shordas Babaji left this planet. So, having got all these instructions from his father, from his Gurudev, he understood that his mission was the propagation of Sanatana Dharma. But the way how he did it was by creating an institution. He created in 1918 the Gaudiya Math. And for the first time, he installed a deity of Radha Krishna in 1920 in the Gaudiya Math. He met our Srila Prabhupada, Vasudeva Bhaktivedanta Swami, in 1922. In 1922. And finally, he left this planet in 1936. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's legacy was taken by our Srila Prabhupada. For example, the propagation of Krishna consciousness through the institution. He founded the Gaudiya Math. Our Srila Prabhupada did the same. He founded ISKCON. The propagation of Krishna consciousness through distribution of books. It started with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Our Srila Prabhupada also took it to heart. And finally, the creation of a GBC. Something that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's closest disciples, they couldn't do it. Our Srila Prabhupada, he was able to establish in ISKCON. So the mission of Srila Prabhupada actually is not different than the teachings and the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In one of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's, I don't remember his appearance or disappearance date, our Srila Prabhupada, at the end of the talk, he started crying. His voice started choking. And he said, actually, the secret of success is to please the previous acharyas. And he went more deeply. And he said, to serve or to fulfill the desires of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's in we have a lot of work to do, because that same legacy is given to us by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So we should cooperate together. We should put all our energy, intelligence, and to push this Krishna consciousness movement. Today is a very special day. So day to meditate on the instructions, on the life, the precepts of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to go very deeply into his mission, which is not different of our Srila Prabhupada's missions, and to analyze ourselves, how are we going to push this Krishna consciousness movement. Thank you very much. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Ki Jai.
Thank you.